You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Family Matters.
Family Matters time, and in our Cape Talk studios, we've got a friend of the show, the founder of worldwithoutwine.com, Janet Gourand, joining us today, and we're going to be talking about the rise of the sober curious movement. Hello, Janet. It's been a while.
Hi there, Eusebius. How's indeed? How are you?
I'm very good. How's sobriety treating you still?
Yeah, pretty good. We're bang in the middle of our Sober Spring Challenge, so I've got my hands full keeping everybody on the bus.
Fabulous. I read the newsletter this morning via email. The Sober Curious movement is really, really fascinating. Over to you. Tell the listeners what it is.
Sure. Okay, well, it's definitely a thing. It kind of started out as a bit of a buzzword and a hashtag, but it's fast evolving into an international movement, which I think is so exciting. It all started with a book called Sober Curious, which came out last year by a Brit. It's always a Brit, isn't it? What is it with us Brit women and our drinking? Anyway, Ruby Warrington, who is very cool, she lives in New York, and she brought out this book, which is fascinating. And what I would like to say, it's a kind of health warning, actually, before we delve into this discussion. Sure. This movement is not for people who have to stop drinking because there's a problem. It's about people who choose not to drink. People who are curious to see what their life would look like without alcohol in it. And you know,
I'm one of them, right? I fit into that category. So
absolutely.
I'm sober curious. And this year, my sober curiosity lasted for, I think, 263 days.
I know, you're such a good example.
And I'll sign up again for the last time the bus will be taking off, which is in a couple of days' time.
That's on Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's important. So there's a difference between being an alcoholic, and we use that word in a non-shaming way when Janet and I speak, because it is a disease. And for an alcoholic, that's a very different thing from someone who wants to cut back or experiment with drinking very little, one glass maybe, or occasionally or even often going to events where you're not going to drink alcohol at all. And I think that's really, really interesting. Do you think that the world without wine concept is part of what has led to sober curiosity among people who do not have a substance abuse problem, but who are curious about the potential benefits nonetheless of cutting back?
Well, I like to think maybe we played a small part in that in South Africa anyway.
Mm.
But you remember we've talked a lot about this spectrum, the drinking spectrum, haven't we? With
yes.
The non-drinker at one end and the alcoholic at the other end.
Mm.
And I think the World Without Wine community, including myself, we're very close to that alcoholic end. We're almost alcoholics. Because what happens to people during decades, we're not talking about days here, but over the years, many people progress along that spectrum until they do develop a problem. But also up the other end, the end that we don't talk about so much, up the non-drinking end, and after that, there are millions of people, and I think those are the people that are becoming sober curious. It's a completely different movement to the recovery movement, but it's a very exciting concept because I think we're going to reach millions of people who might well then save themselves from being addicted later on in life. I think we need to call them the early exiters from the drinking spectrum.
So why might someone be curious? Is it partly to see what... whether they can survive the fear of missing alcohol?
Well, I think it's more tied in with the kind of health, with the wellness revolution, really.
Okay.
I mean, we've got so many people eating gluten-free, non-dairy, organic, et cetera, et cetera. It just doesn't make sense to drink alcohol if you're putting so much effort into that sort of
wash down your gluten-free with a bottle.
I know, it's madness. And thinking about kind of who's driving this, apart from the book and the buzzwords, if we think about Instagram and social media, we've now got the Sober Curious on there. Just this morning, I found a huge Facebook group called Sober Curious, And these people, the millennials and the bloggers, they're quite proud of their alcohol-free status. And they're conveying the message that it's hip not to drink.
I've been particularly curious, pardon the pun, about millennials and bloggers who are typically younger, being some of the proselytizers of sober curiosity, because we always think intuitively that it's particularly teens and young adults who are likely to experiment with alcohol and even to abuse alcohol, and maybe later in life try and pick up the pieces and then try to unravel their toxic relationship with alcohol or some other substance. But you are telling me that there are many millennials listening to this show or whose parents are listening to this show that can testify to the fact that there are many millennials that actually are curious about sobriety.
Well, yes, I mean, hopefully some of them will call in a bit later. But I know in the UK, the stats are crazy. I've tried to find stats in South Africa, but I can't.
Sure.
But stats in the UK, 25% of young people don't drink. And that's really quite something. I just feel we've got a societal culture shift going on here.
I think you're right. I think you're totally right. Give us a call on 011-883-0702. Janet and I love each other. I love her work. She very generously liked my work, but I'd like you to be part of this conversation. So obviously, if you are an alcoholic, you can be part of the conversation. Anyone can call in. But I'm particularly keen to hear from folks who are like me, who do not have a complicated psychological or some other kind of relationship with alcohol, but you've been tempted maybe at the beginning of the year for health reasons, whatever reasons, to see whether you, how long you can go without drinking or cutting back. So you are part of the sober curious movement. Have you been part of it? How has it worked out for you? What has worked? What hasn't worked? What questions have you got? Maybe you want to be curious, but you have some concerns about how you will navigate social space. Both Janet and I are very happy to also, again, answer questions around social survival. 011-883-0702. Give us a call.
702.
Family Matters.
And trust, speaking of gluten-free whatnot, trust Cape Town to put on an entire event around this kind of thing, right?
Yes, we've got the first, I mean, New York and London, let's give them a shout out here because they've got sober bars, they've got even sober dance parties. I mean, it's so cool. Here, there's nothing. I can't believe that these entrepreneurs in Cape Town and Joburg haven't picked up on this yet, but they will.
Yes.
And a good sign is that in Cape Town on the 20th of
October,
yeah, we've got the first ever Mindful Drinking Festival. And we've been having those in the UK for a few years.
Who's organising that? Is it you?
No. I'm speaking there, but I'm a guest. You know, it's not my thing at all. It's two guys, Sean and Barry, and their background is events. They might even call in and say
speaking
something.
Speaking of which, shall we put them on? And then Sean can speak
into
this.
Oh,
are
they
on?
Yes,
how's it, Sean?
How's it, Eusebius? How's it, Janet?
Hi, Sean. Thank you so much for calling in. We often intuitively think because of how we've been socialized, you cannot possibly have a party or, as my gay friends in Cape Town would say, a patsy without plenty of alcohol. What made you think that mindful drinking festivals might take off and worth taking a chance on?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank Janet for giving me the heads up that she'd be in your studio today. We noticed mindful drinking festivals happening in the UK, and we took a leaf out of their book. We're working with the people in the UK called Club Soda. And we thought that given that our society seems to be drenched in alcohol and it is an imperative to drink, we thought that we'd create an experience where people can have a really great time without having alcohol, and promote the idea that it's fine to have a non-alcoholic or alcohol-free beverage in any situation. So, yeah, that's what we're hoping to pull off on Sunday the 20th of October.
At Kirstenbosch?
Yes, it's at the Stone Cottages at Kirstenbosch, just before you get to the entrance. It's a fantastically beautiful location, and we're going to have 40 different vendors of alcohol-free drinks there.
That is absolutely amazing. It's amazing how even corporates have finally cottoned on to the fact that it makes business sense. So more and more drinks all the time. Even when I was in Barcelona and Berlin recently, I saw drinks on menus that I didn't even know were available. And then there'll be plenty of music as well, Sean. And who's going to be performing?
Yeah, we've got Zelani from Freshly Ground fame. She's going to be supporting the Sober Curious Revolution there, plus several other live bands all day, basically, from 11 till 6. Nick Rabinowitz is going to be emceeing a blind tasting competition, which should be hilarious. Mm. We've also got fantastic food, and it's an outdoor space and very beautiful, so... It should be a fantastic day.
No doubt. I'm sure some of the food will be gluten-free too.
Yeah, we've got a friend of mine who produces vegan food is curating, sorry to use that word, the food options. But we've also got a workshop schedule, and Janet's very much at the heart of that. And we're very proud to be supporting her work with World Without Wine.
Yes.
We're going to be featuring all of South Africa's de-alcoholized wines at this event, which is quite a coup for us.
That is amazing. That is so awesome. Yeah. So must people purchase tickets beforehand at the door? How does it work?
Tickets are only $100 on Quickets beforehand,
okay,
and $130 at the door. So we're thinking you're getting a lot for that, because there will be free samples from all the producers on the day.
Mm.
And, so it should be great. There's a massive range on show, from non-alcoholic gins and so-called botanicals to kombuchas, health juices, the works.
That's awesome. All the best for that event, Sean. That's on the 20th of October, Mindful Drinking Festival. Kirsten Bosch is going to be lekker, fun, a complete non-shaming space for people who do not want to get drunk. If you do want to drink, you can do so as well. This is not about moralizing or back to some sort of conservative past that never existed, but it is about expanding the options for people to be able to make choices without feeling pressured into making only certain kinds of choices. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Eusebius. Take care and have a great day.
It's only a pleasure. So you can get a ticket there by going to Quickit. We are speaking to Janet Gouron. She's the founder of World Without Wine. Very unassuming, as I was saying to Laura. Janet has done some amazing things here and internationally. And I can't believe how our relationship with you, both our Cape Talk listeners and our 702 listeners, have evolved with Janet, and I've seen the kind of transformation that has happened in many of your lives. Give us a call, 011-883-0702. Have you got questions about sober, curious movement? Are you scared about trying out sobriety? And what are some of your worst fears? Or maybe you have tried it out. How has it worked out for you?
702 Family
Matters. 25 minutes before noon, we are hanging out with Janet Gouron, the founder of World Without Wine. If you are sober curious, or maybe even an alcoholic, this is an excellent online portal. She does workshops offline as well. Go to worldwithoutwine.com. And I promise you, she has changed the lives of many, many, many people here and abroad. And many of you have met her through initially her incredible radio dialogues around alcoholism, especially almost 2 years ago now, Janet, that Dear Alcohol letter that you read out in March 2017. I listened to it again over the weekend, and I choke back every time I do so. So Janet does really, really fantastic work. Nadine says, I'm on the Sober Curious bus with World Without Wine. I'm 27, Eusebius, and my drinking got so bad that I would down about 2 bottles of wine on a daily basis. I'm on day 23. My drinking really affected my job, and I took the leap to save my career. It's been an amazing journey. Nadine, we are grateful. Keep being on that bus, and remember something that Janet has said on the show before. It's not a linear process, and it will be tough. Maybe you'll even fall off the bus, but just get back, and that World Without Wine online community is absolutely amazing. Lissedi, good morning.
Hi, Eusebius. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for calling in.
Lissedi, good morning.
Hey, Janet. How are you doing?
You're on the bus, yes?
I'm very much still on the bus. Thank you, Janet. I just wanted to say, you know, she's doing great work. I think I've been sober curious for some time. But you're in very much a habit, you know. It's very difficult to just. There was never an occasion where I could just stop and just like sober October, sober spring created that situation. And if she wasn't creating these events, for lack of a better term, you know, there wouldn't be something to prompt sobriety for most of us. So in that regard, I'm very thankful and genuinely thinking about never going back. You know, yesterday I washed my car for the first time in years because on a Sunday I wasn't hungover and I had the energy.
Wow, South Africa's cars are going to get cleaner.
Yeah, well, quite loving the sober journey. We'll see at the end of it, but this is the longest I've been in many years without alcohol and I'm quite enjoying it. And thank you so much, Janet.
Well done, Lesedi. We love you. Having you on our bus.
That is absolutely awesome. You and I have spoken before about the unexpected joys of sobriety. One of them, Lesedi has experienced, is that you have more time on your hands.
Totally, yes. More time to discover a whole new life, to discover who you are sometimes.
Absolutely. So what are the steps for Sober Curious? Shall we talk a little bit about that before we go back to the lines?
I mean, if you're going to have a go at being Sober Curious, then I would say, first of all, be clear why you're going to be Sober Curious. Perhaps like Lesedi, you never got to enjoy a Sunday because you were all hungover. I mean, just write a few lists of points why you're doing this. And then if you feel a bit wobbly, you can just revisit this.
Mm.
And secondly, have your go-to drinks. I mean, come to the festival if you're wondering what alcohol-free drinks are on the market, because there really is something for everybody these days. And the main thing really is just to get started, take a break from alcohol. Start your Sober Curious experiment by at least trying 30 days. You know, if you feel you need some support, then obviously just go to worldwithoutwine.com and our second Sober Spring Challenge starts on Wednesday. So that comprises 66 days of sobriety with online support and a WhatsApp group full of great fun people like Lesedi. So we have fun, you know, it's not difficult.
And I mean, yeah, absolutely, right? And it's a diverse community of people. There is no face to the struggle to be sober because everyone is affected. We have so normalized drinking, as you often say, that quite frankly, that is a pressure that many people will experience, whether you're black, brown, pink, yellow,
totally.
Rich, poor, a suburbanite, yeah. Living in the township.
Yeah,
that is the reality of being a society, as Sean put it, that is drenched in alcohol.
But what I like about this Sober Curious movement is I think it encourages people to challenge that normalization and say, you know, why should we drink? Because in the past, I mean, certainly when I was growing up, you had a choice. You either went out, were one of the crowd, got drinking and had fun, or you led a rather quiet life and stayed home. But I'm hoping that there'll be a third way develop, you know, with the sober bars. And because I still love bars, but I mean, they do trigger me a little bit.
So yes,
if I could go to a bar where there was no alcohol, I have done in London and I just love it. We need them here.
If I remember correctly, part of the relationship you had with alcohol, I think mine is probably similar. I don't think I'm likely to. I might try now to dance much if I'm sober, not least because I have a pair of left feet. Are you able to dance sober?
Oh God, no! Sober dancing is too much. I can't get the hang of that. Whereas I used to think I was a very good dancer, but I'm not.
No, but
so
this
sure
is the
now.
Annoying thing about alcohol, though, because I only started drinking in my second year of university.
Yeah.
I was terribly scared that I was going to hit on men if I'm drunk, because the one thing I suspected about alcohol is that it will make your inhibitions, of course, recede into the background. And I didn't want anyone to know that I was secretly like checking out hot men on campus. So I delayed my drinking until second year. But in my first year, I still socialized. I would skinny dip. I would go out until three mm-hmm. in the morning and I would dance on the tables like nudging me. But once I started drinking, and drinking went hand in glove with doing certain kinds of quote-unquote fun things, including dancing, I found that after that, I couldn't go back to sober dancing.
How interesting.
Isn't that tragic?
Yeah, tragic. But it it shows that there must be a kind of neural pathway going on there that, you know, yes. means if you dance, you drink.
Yeah. That's true. 011-883-0702. We've got plenty of callers. Let's speak to some of them. Lefa, good morning.
Hi, YouTubers. How are you? Hi, Janet.
Lefa. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. So I'm 24 years old, and I've been sober for 175 days.
Oh, wow. That is... how many days?
175.
That is awesome.
Well done.
Thank you. So initially I started because I didn't like my relationship with alcohol. You know, you kind of, like you said, there are things you do when you are under the influence that you wouldn't do if you weren't.
Yes.
And I didn't like the fact that I was kind of texting people that I shouldn't be texting.
Yeah, and then seeing it the next morning. Oh, I know.
Especially with digital footprints being permanent.
Yeah. So I decided to challenge myself first to from 30 days, and then it kept on going. Then it was 60, then it was 90, then it was 120, and now I'm on 175. And it has been great. You know, usually when I crave alcohol, I'll just buy that Savannah non-alcoholic.
Yes.
Or I recently found a de-alcoholized wine from Woolies, so that's always great. The only issue is when I go out, because they still don't have non-alcoholic options that are not fizzy drinks or water. But yeah, and that has been my journey.
That is awesome. All the best to you, Lefa. All the best. That is really amazing. And what about your mates? Are they still drinking? Did they ask you silly questions? How did you negotiate that as a young person, especially?
So I have a mate who isn't drinking as well, which is fantastic because I always go out with her. But with my other mates, I think they've kind of accepted it, you know, like they'll ask questions like why, because everybody's always like flabbergasted when you don't drink. They always think that you're an alcoholic and you're kind of recovering, and I'm like, no, I just don't like I want to try being sober for once. And they're like, okay, cool, we might join you, we might not, but you know, enjoy.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, if you want a community, even if you dip in and out, go to worldwithoutwine.com. And there's some great tips there for how to deal with these things. So many before you, Lefa, have been through the journey of negotiating social spaces and that kind of thing, wondering what's on the market, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a really, really fantastic community to join. Silas, good morning.
Hi, Yeshiva. How are you?
Well, thank you.
I'm okay. Hello to your guest, too. I must commend your guest, Eusebius. I think that's a very, very important, a thing that we need to do, basically in SA, because, I mean, we know the impact of alcohol in SA, you know? And I think just one question that I wanted to understand, but just to ask you, do you have any plans to take this to high schools? Because I think that's where, you know, kids, you know, dealing with peer pressure at formative stages, and, you know, they don't have any choice, at least if they know that they can still look cool with their bottle of Heineken or something that doesn't have alcohol. Is there any plans for such? I mean, just to give you, that's I don't drink, and I think I've always felt like a social pariah with my wife in these social places. But with the latest, non-alcohol drinks, it's actually, you should feel like you're fit even though you're not drinking alcohol, you know. I think it is a commendable, initiative, in a sense.
Thanks for that, Silas. Janet?
Yes, thank you so much, Silas. Yes, the thing about schools, I have done one talk so far, and I called it Too Smart to Start. And I just did 10 things that you guys should know about alcohol, you know, and I really slammed it home. I made it very dramatic with horrible pictures of livers and whatever. And I could see that, you know, I was getting through to them. And I do hope that if society really can change in line with this sober curious movement, then maybe the pressure on young people won't be so huge.
Yeah, that's very true. Mti, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Eusebius and Jen.
Hi there.
Just like your previous caller, I've never drank in my life. I'm in my late 40s, and I'm the party starter. I'm always on the dance floor.
Oh, really?
A natural extrovert.
I'm extroverted, introverted, if there's anything like that. But anyway, what I wanted to say was I really commend Jen, and like your previous caller, for me, it's important for kids, for young kids to hear this. Not even too cool to start. Maybe they've started and they want to stop. We should really be driving and finding ambassadors like your, I mean, I know there are celebrities who do not drink, but they still have fun. You know, let them make not drinking cool and have, they I think a lot of people must join this movement because I think we need this. A lot of crime, a lot of everything that happens is because of abuse of either alcohol or drugs. So if we can at least tell our kids that, you know what, you do not have to succumb to peer pressure. I had friends in at varsity, I mean, they drank, all my friends drank, and they would say, but Ntiv, just try a little. And I'd say, guys, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm having fun. I don't need anything to make me feel like, you know, I'm high and therefore I can have fun. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just think a lot of kids need to hear that, you know what, it's okay for you not to drink. Do not succumb to any peer pressure. But the funny thing is that most of my friends now, those that I had then, actually don't drink. They, you know, so it's, yeah, but I'm just saying, if there's anything that I can commit to, I know now I'm making a commitment on radio, but if there's anything that you need, Jen, I really want to support this program because
thank
I just feel that it can go a long way to deal with a lot of issues, man.
Absolutely. That is so well put. From the public health costs to the accidents we see on the road, and Janet's own story, how we are in denial about the links between alcohol, which is literally poison, and cancer.
Yes, it's linked to 7 different types of cancer. I've had breast cancer myself, which I'm sure is linked to my heavy drinking. So, yeah, I mean, we really need to get wise. But that last caller, I liked her point about celebrities. I mean, we have loads of celebrities in UK and America. I haven't come across a celebrity here, but I have recently connected with an influencer, somebody with, you know, millions of followers, a South African lady who is on the journey herself, and she's doing very well. So I'm planning on asking her if she'll think about being an ambassador, because I think we have to get the message out there that it's cool not to drink.
Family Matters.
Joshua, good morning.
Hello.
Hi there. Welcome.
Hi, Joshua.
Janet, Eusebius, long-time listener, first-time caller. I love the topic. How are you?
Thank you,
well
Joshua.
Well done for calling in.
Thank you. Yeah, you mentioned celebrities. I think I'll mention 2 people from the comedy world, John Blissmith and Nina Hasty. Oh. They're people living a sober life, so they're, as far as I know.
And still funny.
And
Oh, definitely. I love John
Business. I guess the reason my contribution would be, so I'm a member of the AA Fellowship, also do this Mankind Project thing, which I think some people are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the idea of taking all, and that's why what I like about World Without Wine, because I guess I come from the recovery space, which says addiction is caused by chemical imbalance, unresolved childhood trauma, or inability to change current situation, or false beliefs. And for me, kind of all those things were part of my recovery. And I think what World Without Wine, I think, really hits on is this false belief that we can't have a good time without drinking.
Exactly.
And for me, I couldn't dance without drinking. I couldn't be intimate with partners without drinking. And so that's my contribution, and I really love what you're doing.
Thanks, Joshua.
Oh, thank you
so much,
Joshua.
What a beautiful couple of points, Janet.
Yeah. I went through a point where I felt I had no conversation if I have no wine. Just couldn't think of anything to say.
Well, popular culture reinforces that, and colloquial language, you know, let the wine flow so that conversation can be had, as if conversation needs the wine to be flowing first before you can actually have it.
It's the gasoline of fun. Have you heard that one?
Yeah, which is absolute rubbish, because as you've pointed out in many a blog entry, you will find yourself as you are experimenting with sober curiosity, that often you have the most interesting conversations at parties as the sober one with people who actually realize very quickly that they are in a proper, authentic conversation with you because you're listening carefully. You're not just waiting to speak, which many drunk people do. So a lot of myths to be busted.
Yeah. And you remember the conversation the next day.
Absolutely. Cabs, good morning.
Hey, CBS, how are you doing? Janet?
Hi there.
Good, good, thanks. So I happen to work in the industry, right? Very middle class guy, work in the alcohol industry. And I've recently become very, like, super curious about sobriety. And the main thing for me was just my pocket. Like, I'd look at my wallet and I'm like, fuck, where did all this go? What happened to my money?
Yeah, and, well...
And you know, is that app 22/7?
Yeah.
App 22/7, and you look at the categories and you realize you're spending a lot going out, but then you're like, but that burger was only $100. And that burger comes with a beer, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I just got to a point where I'm like, okay, now I'm going to try this alcohol-free gin, and I'm trying the non-alcoholic beers. They're not completely non-alcoholic, but 0.03 is better than 5%.
That is right. And in fact, Cubs, there are also apps you can use if you are someone who loves data, where every time while you are experimenting with sobriety and joining the sober curious movement, instead of, you know, buying the drink that you would have had, you can go on the app and input it there. And you can see what your real savings would have been per week and per month, even.
I'm just looking at mine, Eusebius. I've just got my app up. It's in euros, the amount that I've saved. But I've saved nearly 17,000 euros since I stopped drinking.
That is amazing. And that is a real saving.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a real saving. That is absolutely amazing. Okay, we're going to run out of time. So if people want to join the bus... specifically for the spring opportunity and get a sense of what World Without Wine is about. Let's just give them details around that, Janet.
Sure. Well, the bus leaves on Wednesday, so you need to register today or tomorrow. We'll probably stay open until evening on Wednesday. So just sign up and then you'll get an email full of tips, tools, strategies to keep you going, motivation every day for 66 days. And you'll also be on a WhatsApp group with the other challenges.
And you sign up. I must say how do you sign up?
Just go onto the homepage of worldwithoutwine.com.
And then, it's all there. And then, okay, I feel like you and I have had this conversation, but I'm getting old, so I forget what you've said. So I've read two brilliant books that I'm a fan of both of them, right? In terms of literature. The one is, just give the titles, and you've worked with one of the authors now in London.
Sober Diaries, Claire. Yes, we're teaming up with her next month in London to do another workshop.
Sober Diaries, which is amazing.
Sober Diaries, Claire Pooley.
Mm-hmm.
And this awesome titled book called The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober.
Which is absolutely amazing. Yeah,
Catherine
I love them both.
Gray.
And they were very different. And
let's not forget Sober Curious by Ruby Warrington.
Well, I was about to say, I'm going to make you pledge on air. When you come next time, or maybe that won't be soon enough, can you send me the next one I want to read, like a really good one? You've got a sense of what I'll enjoy.
Sure,
I really love
sure.
some of this sober literature that has developed. Some of it is really amazing.
Yeah, we call it, what do we call it? Quitlet.
Quitlet. Okay, so you'll send me another one to read and
right.
We'll review it on air in months to come. Thank you, Janet.
All right. Thanks, Eusebius.